irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, January 21st, a day after the State of the Union, which I did not listen to, but I got some highlights. Did you
watch
it?
Yep.
Yeah. It started at 5, right?
6.
6?
6:10.
Oh, okay. So that's right. We thought it was going to be 7, right, or something?
No.
No, we were right?
We were right.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter, right? Now it's over.
Yes.
So what did you take away from it?
That our president is like a rock star.
Yeah?
I mean, I don't care. I mean, you know, people can say what they want about him, but he presents like such an energy.
Really?
That you almost are like in awe of whatever he's saying. And he really fought back, too. Like, there were hecklers in the group and everyone is quoting the fact that he said, you know.
There's hecklers in Congress, really?
Well, it's a Republican Congress, so.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone was just like, you know, kind of taken back by the fact that he was like, I won 2 elections.
Right.
What do you have to say about that?
Oh, did he say that?
Not in those words, but.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, there have been a lot of presidents with 2 terms that were not great. But usually the second term sucks for many presidents. They start screwing up and stuff, you know.
Right. Well, it sounds like he's trying to turn things around and leave his legacy, you know, intact.
But from what I understand, he didn't say much about ISIS, right?
He said very little. And a lot of people were like kind of questioning, weren't we already doing those things? Why is this something we're going to start doing?
Yeah.
So he talked mostly about the middle class.
Okay.
And free community college for the first 2 years for people.
All right. So he's trying for popularity, I guess. You know, he wants people to look. I mean, he's got great ideas and stuff. But if America is not going to take on ISIS, I don't know who he is. I was hoping to hear something about that, you know, because it's a major, major problem in the world right now. And people are just like running scared. You know, nobody's doing anything. So, you know, that's kind of something I wish he would have talked more about.
Yeah. I have a feeling that there are things we don't know being done or planned because, you know, as a matter of national security and world security, I have a feeling they can't tell us those things.
Yeah. But if it was something big, we would know about it. You know,
so
I'm sure there's intelligence and secret things going on. But, you know, who knows? I don't know. I haven't seen any serious threat to them. So they keep going, you know, and we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have very special guests in the studio. We'll get to them in just a moment. A musical group, and we'll get to that in a second. I wanted to just bring this up, Jen. They're saying that sitting can kill you. Did you see that?
That sitting can?
Sitting. And they're saying even if you exercise, it's still bad for you. So you have to keep getting up all the time, they're saying. If you're sitting, get up every 30 minutes or so and walk around or something, you know.
Why can sitting kill you?
But I don't know. They're not really saying that, but they're saying, you know, increases the chances of disease. I'm just thinking maybe it's like, you know, not using your muscles. You know, it just says it can lead to death from cardiovascular issues and cancer, as well as chronic conditions such as type 2 diabetes.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. So they're saying physical inactivity has been identified as the 4th leading risk factor for death of people around the world. So that's
how
bad,
dark.
You know. And that's the thing. I mean, the world is set up so we'll sit down all the time.
There are offices now that offer standing desks.
Really?
A lot of the talent agencies have them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're like, you know, if you go to a bar and it's like a 2-top and it's a higher table,
right.
It's more like that kind of desk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen some people working standing up, but I don't know, man. I sit too much, I got to tell you, and I don't do any exercise either, so I'll probably end up dying young, you know,
yikes,
with all the other stuff I do.
Maybe you should start working out.
Yeah, maybe, huh?
You can, you know.
I know, but I hate it so much, you know. So
working out? There's something out there that you would like to do, I'm sure.
Well, I got a bicycle, and I was riding it in the summer. Now it's kind of chilly, But do you believe how cold it was last night? I mean, last night was freezing.
It was really cold. I was only outside once, and it was to get my yoga mat from my car and run back inside.
I know. It was really chilly last night. And I went to sleep late, too, so I could really feel it. I went outside, and wow, man, it was cold. It was chilly.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, for us, it's cold. You know, for other places, it's summer weather.
Right.
Yeah. Bikini weather, right?
It's all relative.
Yeah. Exactly. And then also they're asking the question, how much sex is considered exercise? Did you ever think about that, Jen?
Yeah.
Does that occupy your mind?
Not really, but I've thought about it like once or twice.
You have thought about it. Well, apparently, first of all, a big discovery is sex lasts 6 minutes on average and only burns
not very long.
About 21 calories. Maybe they're just meaning the intercourse part itself, because I can't imagine anybody doing it in 6 minutes, like from beginning to end. And then they're saying 30 minutes of sex can burn about 85 to 100 calories.
That's better.
So that's better, yeah. So you got to keep going. But the fact of the matter is you don't lose a lot of weight.
No.
You don't burn a lot of calories.
Can't be the only thing you do.
Exactly. You know, you got to maybe run around the bedroom a few times, too.
Thank God.
You know? I don't know, you know. But, yeah, if people are trying to use that as an excuse, it doesn't work that way.
No, that can't be the only thing you're doing for your fitness.
I know. I started watching that movie with... I don't know if you saw it. I can't even remember the name. I'm not good with names. But it's with Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet, where he was like an escapee from prison.
Oh, remember that?
I can't remember the name of it, but I started watching it.
And she takes him in.
You're right. Well, yeah, she does, but not by choice, you know. And then I guess they sort of like get involved in everything. But
right.
I haven't gotten to that part yet.
That's an interesting choice for you. I didn't think you would like that kind of
thing. I know. I didn't either, but it was
it's
the
like
only
a romantic
thing that seemed
drama.
Okay. Yeah. I know. I saw that Breakfast at Tiffany's, they have it on Amazon too, but I didn't watch it. I remember you talked about it.
Yes.
But it's kind of an older movie, right?
I mean, it's
very
classic.
Old. Yeah, it's a classic.
It's from like the 60s.
So did you say you liked it?
I do like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not my favorite classic, but I liked it. And I'm glad that I can now proudly say I've seen it, because it's embarrassing that in my 30 years I haven't.
Yeah. I guess for a movie lover, right?
I guess. I mean, also as a female who like, you know, I feel like every female has seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? What's...
I don't know. It's like a girly thing. Like every female has also seen He's Just Not That Into You.
Yeah, I guess.
We've seen them. We should see all of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I mean, that's what's going on. Just one last thing. What do you think of parents letting their parents, their kids walk alone to school? And I'm talking about 10 years old and 6 years old. This is a family in Maryland, and they're giving the parents a very hard time. They're actually investigating them for allowing their kids to walk to school alone. What do you think?
What's their reason behind it?
They want to give them a certain amount of independence. They're saying, you know, when we grew up and everything, we grew up in dangerous areas too, and we walked, and it was fine, you know. So the thing is this, is that, look, today times are hard and times have changed, you know, and it is dangerous. At the same time, though, you know, I think you got to give yourself a little bit of your kids a little bit of independence.
I agree, but maybe that starts when they become like an adult,
a little older, right?
Yeah, or like a teen at least. Add the word teen to their age and then call it independence. But right. I'm terrified of having kids one day and somebody snatching them.
Right. I mean, they can't really fend for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So
they're crazy people out there.
Yeah.
Why add to that by putting your kids in the street alone?
Yeah. That's true. But to...
I don't think anybody should be like a helicopter parent, but at the same time, hello? Right.
So, I mean, do you think they should be investigating them? I mean, should they be punished for this?
I don't know. I don't really know.
Probably
how
not
involved
punished,
people
but...
need to get. I mean, I think that if their kids get stolen, like, maybe then they should discuss, you know, child services. But nothing has happened yet, so what do you say?
Right. Yeah, but
they might be right. That's the thing. If nothing happens, then they're right. And their kids are independent and learn how to kick ass on the streets.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it couldn't happen, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing.
How can we speculate about something that hasn't happened yet?
Exactly.
you know, or punish people for like their beliefs on how to raise their children if their children are fine. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But the thing of it is that if it's child endangerment, then they're in trouble.
Right.
You know, if that's what they figure. All right. Well, let's get to our guests right now who are sitting here patiently, which we always appreciate. We have members of the group We Are Kings and Queens. We have Mr. John. What's your last name, John?
Mahan.
Mahan. And Andrew, of course. Andrew, what's your last name?
It's a tough one. Smith.
Smith. That's right. Okay. Now I remember. So we have Andrew Smith and John Mahan in the studio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us a little bit about the band. How many members do you have in the band?
Five.
Oh, five members.
It's a full family.
Yeah, but I saw only four pictures, right? On the
The other guy's new, and we just haven't gotten around it. Oh, okay. I hope he understands. We're not trying to.
He's
to
not
keep
unattractive or anything. It's just
He's not.
So
like
he just
back.
Joined later. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And so, are you guys LA based?
Yeah,
you are.
Right down the road in the Artist District, which is right next to Culver City.
Oh, wow. So that's where you guys hang out, huh?
Mostly.
You live there, too?
Some of us.
Oh,
we've got
okay.
a recording and music studio that a couple of us have lofted our space above, but not all five of us live in one
Oh,
compound.
Cool. So you're like a bunch of friends, too, huh? I mean, you guys obviously need to get along, or otherwise there's no band.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd say it's half and half.
Yeah.
Sometimes we love, sometimes we don't.
Yeah. It's funny. We were just talking on the way over here, and John was saying a friend of his said the most important part of a member in a band is that he can drive in the morning, drive in the afternoon, and drive at night.
Somebody's got to do the driving,
yeah,
right?
That's what yeah. We're looking for a morning person.
I know a lot of people not seem to be morning persons. I don't know why, but I used to be, but now I can't even get up, man. So I'm a night person now. So when was the band started?
Oh, a little over a year ago. It started off with me, really, and then kind of started to put the pieces together. I feel like his mic is better than my mic. Or, like, am I quiet?
You're not really quiet. I'll turn it up a little bit if you'd like.
Maybe here.
It's maybe your headphones. No, but you'd hear.
Oh, I see.
You'd hear
him
the same. Yeah.
All right.
Is this better now?
I mean, technical jabber.
Yeah, I turned you up a little
bit. Thanks,
man. Yeah.
The band. We actually kind of came together through a Craigslist love story kind of situation. Uh-huh. And I think that Craigslist is really a creative golden thread through the city. I know you mentioned you're an actress as well, Jen.
Yeah.
So you know how it is. Like, it's on there, and there's a couple diamonds in there, and you really kind of have to just browse through it. And it's like thrift store shopping, I guess.
Right.
And that's how we came together. First, I found Ben, and he had put out this ad. And it's funny, I actually screenshot it. And it's on my computer still because I was like, this is the dude. I know this is going to be the guy.
Really?
And then each member after that, we found in a similar fashion. Either us posting or reading their post and saying, hey, we want that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
So, and what do you play? You're the
singer, and I play
guitar.
You're
the singer. And you play the guitar.
Yeah.
And Andrew, what do you do?
I'm the drummer.
Oh, you're the drummer. Cool. So did you guys meet first and then you added other people, or how did it work?
I was third in John's meeting. So like you said, the lead guitar player, Ben, was first, and then Vincenzo is the bassist. And those three were already working together, and then they had moved to L.A., and I think I put a post up on Craigslist, and they kind of were sitting around looking through it, and they said, I think this is the one, and I came in, and that was...
Wow. So you can tell based on the ad if it's going to be a good candidate, huh?
Yeah, he said something about wanting to commit and see the project through and really be in a band-type environment, and we had just come out of, a drummer not working out because of kind of flaky commitment. And then going through kind of hired gun situations where, you know, they show up when they can and then they're playing with seven other people. And that just doesn't work in the long run.
Right.
Because your attention's divided and there's no focus. And so that was one of the things that really attracted us to his posting.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So where did you move from?
I moved from Boise, Idaho. I actually grew up in San Francisco and been down here a lot because I went to school in Santa Barbara. And then my folks moved out to Boise, Idaho from San Francisco. And I was there kind of just living at home and figuring out what to do next in life. And then I just got really tired of Boise.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just so simple there. It's
Not much to do, huh?
No diversity, no crime, just boring.
Not a big music scene?
No, boring.
I was playing with some bands there, but it was, you know, a couple venues and they were all within two square blocks of each other. And by the time I'd played every venue umpteen times, I just had to move on. There's no like bigger show to play. There's no more fans to get. So
right, too small for you.
Yeah.
What age did you start playing drums?
When I was 7, actually.
Really? Was and that like the first instrument you were attracted to?
Yeah, I don't really know how that happened or how my parents okayed that. I mean, when I have kids, I hope they don't want to learn how to play drums.
I know, it's loud, man. Every parent.
Must have been a lot of years of just really obnoxious beating in the garage.
Right.
But they stuck it through, and I think throughout college, I had a couple of years of not playing very much. But, you know, since 7, I've been playing.
So. Wow. But today it's cool because you can get those electric drums where nobody hears anything, right? You just use it with your headphones and stuff. That's probably good to practice with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen those, Jen?
No.
Yeah, you put on your headphones and it's just like rubber plates almost, you know. It doesn't even look like drums, or some of them do. And you play on them and it sounds just like drums.
I want to learn to play drums.
Yeah, I know. Drums sound very cool.
I feel like it'd be really funny to walk in on someone rocking out on on the virtual drums.
And you don't hear anything,
they
right?
don't know you're there, and they're like...
So, John, can you play the drums too?
Oh, I get down a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's like... it's very physical, obviously.
Yeah.
And is that something that attracted you to it? I mean, what's like attractive about drums? Because you can't really make music. I mean, it's more for the beat. But you have to have other instruments with you. What do you think it is that attracts you to the drums?
I'm not sure when I was 7 years old, but it's just I love the backbone of the band. You know, it's down to like the simplest thing that people know when they listen to music. Like, my girlfriend knows nothing about drums, but what I've been trying to explain to her is like, what the snare drum is just what you would be clapping along to if you were listening to a song. And okay. So I love that it's just laying down what people can move or dance to, you know?
Right.
I mean, everything else is part of it, but I think without drums, a lot of times people don't really know how to get down.
You know? Have you seen Whiplash?
No, but I need to watch it. I've heard it's great.
So good.
Yeah. Well,
what's Whiplash?
It's a movie about a drummer.
Oh, really? It
yeah.
is, huh? Wow, very cool.
I think it's nominated for everything. J.K. Simmons plays the teacher. He's in charge of the band at some school. And he's kind of like a Nazi band leader. And you see the drummer go through like this like process of learning to be the best drummer ever. And he's, I don't know, it's a whole thing. It's really good.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it away.
That would
please
probably
don't.
Touch
I'm definitely going to watch it.
It's really good. Yeah. And especially as a drummer, you'd probably love it. Because I'm not a drummer, and I really loved it.
Yeah, I've already been told a number of times that I'd love it, so I just haven't gotten around to seeing it.
Yeah.
It's time.
And John, what age did you pick up the guitar?
Oh, I was kind of a late bloomer. I started playing in college, actually. Well, maybe like my senior year of high school. I had been in the marching band before that. It's kind of funny. And then my senior year, I actually got kicked out because I was too much of an asshole. Can I say asshole?
Yeah, you can. Well, you already did, so.
Twice.
All right. Slap the fines. So when I found myself with nothing else to do, I started songwriting with this guy, Jimmy Thorpe, at my school. He was the best guitar player in school, so I was like, hey, you, let's write some songs. And so we started to do that. And then I went to a very musical school. I grew up in Nashville, so I went to Belmont University. And there was a ton of musicians there, and my mind was blown, and I saw all these people just doing really cool stuff, and I thought, I should pick up the guitar and express myself this way. And
yeah.
How could you begin, not in Nashville? Yeah. What else do people do in Nashville?
Well, they drink a lot, and they write sad songs. and rear families on farms.
So you have to play music, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you self-taught, or did you take lessons?
How yeah,
did
it self-taught. Work?
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, you know, because a lot of people are self-taught. You know, I had to take some lessons and stuff, and then I kind of taught myself more things. But started writing songs and stuff. I picked up the guitar around 13, and I remember loving it because it was an instrument you could sing with, you know, and I love to sing. So that was a classic instrument, I think, for that, right?
Yeah.
And you're a singer as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My guitar is my mistress.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's funny? When I was 16 years old, I wrote a song called I'm in Love with My Guitar. You know?
Yeah. Much easier than loving a woman.
Yeah, well, you know, at 15, man. But
no offense, Jim. Sorry.
But it's funny because people do get attached to their guitars. I mean, my son now, he's 21. He really shreds, and he loves his guitar, you know?
I never had that with my guitar.
No?
No. I hated it.
Really?
I took lessons, wrote a song, and put it in the closet and left it there. Moved to
LA. Did you have to be talked into it?
No. I mean, I tried everything as a child. I literally played every sport and everything I could possibly do.
Wow.
They had to keep me busy somehow. So
well, yeah. It's tough because you have, like, tiny fingers.
I actually don't. I have big hands.
Oh, well.
But I also can't multitask.
They're long, but they're still tiny.
I couldn't do the this and this.
Did your hands hurt too?
Like, two different hands multitasking?
Yeah. I also wouldn't be able to do drums because there'd be like different areas of expertise, and it would just be a foot and two hands, and it's too much. You can barely drive. It's a thing. Yeah. So.
Well, good thing you can text and drive.
Right.
That's multitasking. Good
honestly,
job.
I'm good at that. Don't tell anyone, people.
Awesome. So, and at what point did you move from Nashville to here? How many years ago?
I think that was about 9 years ago now.
Wow.
So it's almost been a decade.
Now, you were in a place where they make music. Why did you want to move to L.A.?
Well, I didn't want to make the kind of music they were making at the time.
Yeah,
I think
it
was a
you
lot
don't
of,
look very country.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Or sound it.
I think.
Right.
I think I'm country in a lot of ways in the way I live life and kind of my philosophy. Surprisingly, I like a slower life and I like for things to be simple. But it didn't appeal to me at that time. Gospel and country wasn't really my vein. Although it's interesting, like I was playing with a young pop band that ended up actually doing pretty well now. And then the band Paramore, do you guys know mm-hmm. those guys? Like we were all kind of coming up together. And so there was kind of this interesting a burgeoning rock music scene in Nashville that wasn't really there before, and now it's kind of picked up. So I think there have been some people to put Nashville on the map. I wanted a different journey. I wanted to kind of come out to LA and live the dream and
right.
do it that way, which has ultimately just been a lot harder.
Really?
And a lot of heartache and uh-huh. just a really hard journey, but I think worth it in the long run.
Really?
I think a lot of people that come to LA would say that. Like, it's overwhelming and mind-boggling how much stuff is going on here and how much kind of BS you have to wade through
right,
until you get your bearings and start to really move forward in what you want to do.
Right, because there are so many people and you got to go through a lot of people, you know. So Andrew, you moved from Boise to here, right, to LA directly, or did you move somewhere else before?
No, it was direct.
Direct. And so how many years ago?
I just moved out here almost exactly a year ago now.
Oh, really? Wow. So you're pretty new.
Yeah.
Do you feel at home here?
Yeah, I feel great here. I love it here. And it wasn't too tough of a move for me because I grew up mostly in San Francisco. And I spent a lot of time down here in Santa Barbara and San Diego. So I kind of like knew what I was in for.
Yeah,
but at the same time, like John said, moving to LA is not an easy transition for anyone. So.
Right, yeah, especially from a smaller place, obviously, which most places are smaller than LA.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you came out here knowing you want to be part of a band and pursue your musical career.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you guys connected after you had a couple of musicians on the in the band. When did you actually start this whole process? I mean, were you guys playing? So you were playing before Andrew came along, and then you replaced your drummer.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when did the band start? When did you start it?
It started as a dream of mine. Let me just do some math here.
Like, it's okay. You don't have to be quite exact.
About a year and a half ago, I'd say, a bunch of crazy stuff went down in my life, and I kind of made the decision, you know, if you're going to do this thing, then do it now. And the song Decide, actually, that we just shot a music video for is about that. It's about saying, okay, you know, I can go this way or I can go this way. So I really want to buckle down and do this. And that's where the EP came from. And everything else has kind of snowballed after that. So a year and a half ago, there was me sitting alone in a studio with a pregnant girlfriend that was back in Nashville, and I was taking 6 weeks to write and record an album. It's crazy. Like, wow. One day there'll be a book about it and people will say, oh, I can't believe that's real.
Really? Yeah. Wow. That interesting.
Yeah. Huh? I don't want to tell everyone all the good stuff now. It's kind of like a little piggy bank. You know, we keep,
keep it for any day. Right. Well, since you brought up your songs, let's go ahead and play one. Decide is the one you mentioned. Should we play that one?
Yeah. Rock it out.
Okay. So you just recorded a music video for this?
Yeah. Andrew knew this guy, Ben, from doing some work in Idaho, right?
Yeah. I'd met this guy, Ben, who shot a video for me in a different band in Idaho, and then he moved to LA 2.5 years ago. And then when I moved here, he must have seen something on Facebook and kind of reconnected with me, said it looked like I moved here. And then we had coffee, and he told me what he was doing in film, and he had a handful of friends, and they loved our music. So we just kind of got together, and they shot it, directed it, edited it, and it turned out great. And kind of all that whole group of film guys was saying it's probably the best work they've ever felt like they've done. So
yeah,
everyone was really happy with it. It's great.
Yeah. And it's important that, I guess, you know, when you join a band later, that obviously you like their music, right? Did you try with other bands where you didn't like the music and you said, I'm not joining this band because I can't stand the music?
Yeah, on one hand, being a drummer, I do kind of like to diversify and play whatever. On the other hand, since being in this band, I've really kind of grown to feel like this is, if I had to choose, this is the one band I love to play in the most. So I did a lot of folk and more sort of actually Nashville-sounding bands from Boise and a group here in L.A., and some of it just got a little old playing the drums. Kind of all the beats were the same and didn't really push my creative side of things. So
yeah,
and this band's really kind of harped on, like, you know, we're trying to do something different and make things interesting and be kind of a new sound. So it's been challenging and rewarding for me.
Yeah. Now I'm curious. So let's go ahead and listen to Decide. The band is We Are Kings and Queens. You guys can follow us. Go to the website, wearekingsandqueens.com. And here's the song Decide.
Take a shower.
That's the song Decide by We Are Kings and Queens. I love the song, man.
Thank you.
It's an amazing song. So did you guys, do you all write it or do you mainly write the songs, John?
For that one, it was mostly me. And then we're transitioning into all of us writing.
More collaboration.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's give a plug to the other band members. Who are they? And give their names, what instruments they play and so forth.
Okay. So I'm Jonathan, the lead singer, and I play guitar. And then there's Benjamin Hancock. He goes by Ben Hancock, that plays lead guitar. Joseph Hundermark. He goes by Joe. I don't know why I like to call everyone by their proper names. I don't know. I think it's because everyone has such like strong, long names.
Yeah.
So Joe Hundermark, he plays keys and guitar and makes weird noises. then there's Vincenzo Maranca, who hails from Sicily, and he plays bass guitar. And there's
Mr. Drummer here.
Well, I don't know what I'd call you on the radio show. My co-radioer. He's the drummer, all right? Andrew Smith.
Your fellow guest.
Yeah, my fellow guest. There you go.
Bandmate.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. So now, the life of a musician, you know, I mean, people often wonder how you survive, especially in the beginning, you know, because obviously you start, you don't make a lot of money and stuff. They call it a struggling musician, whatever. How do you guys make ends meet for you? I mean, are you able to earn a living now from your music?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Not yet. So do you guys have like day jobs and things like that also?
Yeah.
Very cool. Very
cool. You definitely have to work. It's insane, really.
Yeah.
There was this thing in Nashville that kind of this saying, people would say, oh, well, you know, what's your advice on the music industry? And they say, quit, do something else.
Really?
and I get that now, like kind of being on the other side of it. You pour so much of your life and, you know, at the sacrifice of relationships and making money and kind of doing all that stuff, you sacrifice all of that to do this passion, and it's hard.
Right.
But is it worth it?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you feel you have to do it. Yeah, I guess when you're a musician, you got to let it out, you know. You got to release everything inside of you, you know. And I know especially writing songs and stuff, you know, it helps you express yourself and so forth. And that's the thing. If everybody quit because there's no money to be made, we wouldn't have any singers. We wouldn't have any music. You know, but it's thanks to people like you and other musicians that do make the sacrifice and give us great music, you know.
Thanks.
So this song, Decide, you started explaining to us what it was about. So this was something that reflected what you were feeling at the time?
Yeah, definitely. And it was both a reflection of where I was in my life. I had just come out of some really serious, hard circumstances and just strained relationships and kind of starting over. And, you know, the first line of the song, Jump Off the Edge, boy, like, Like, you know, you have those moments where you feel like you're standing on the cliff and you want to do this thing, but you don't know how and you don't know where to begin. And you're nervous and you're anxious. And really the only thing you can do, my gal has this cool saying, it's not about going from point A to point B. It's about going from point A. So sometimes you don't know what point B is and you just have to do it. So this song is about that. And then at the same time, you know, one of the lines in the bridge is, here I am shooting the scars again. A friend of mine, I kind of watched him and his addiction to heroin. And I got to witness how he was not on the drug and then how he was on the drug. And it was really sad for me to watch him. Because when he was on it, he felt like he was somehow better or enhanced and kind of got this swagger about him. Right. But from my perspective, he kind of just came across as a bummer, you know? Like, he was feeling great and whatever. But I was looking at him like, man, I just lost you. Like, we're not even in the same space anymore.
Wow.
And so that's kind of the metaphor of going back to those habits, going back to those things that keep you where you are. And this song is about breaking those, you know? So for me, it was about breaking the habits, breaking the life cycle of not doing my dream and just making the decision to do it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's kind of, it's deep.
Yeah, it's very deep. Mm-hmm. Well, you seem like a deep person. You seem very thoughtful.
Sometimes.
And stuff, yeah. Very cool.
I have to shake it off to be in public.
Yeah.
How did the name of the band come about?
That's another, deep. What?
Also deep.
Yeah, right. Tell us everything.
So, that's a twofold thing too. I was playing cards. Actually, I was cutting a deck of cards, and as I split them open, it was a king and a queen looking at each other. Right, so they got their little staffs in their hand, and they're just like looking in each other's eyes. And I had this moment where I thought, that's what all of this is about. It's about the dynamic of boys and girls, men and women, kings and queens. Like, a boys and girls sounds too flippant, you know? It sounds a little bit young and, like, not... Maybe if I was doing dance music, like, you know, club music. But kings and queens was just saying it's a story about us. Like, that's what we do. And then the flip side of it is more of a social and political thing, saying... Everyone quit paying attention to presidential bloodlines and royalty and who owns this and the 1% and all this stuff, and realize that just by being here, being alive, being a person, being autonomous, being yourself, you know, Sam and Jen, you guys are kings and queens by right, not because other people say you are or aren't, but just because you're here living the same experience that we all are.
Right.
So it's kind of an empowering name at the same time that it's a band name. Like, it's an affirmative statement, like, we are kings and queens.
Right. Very cool. Andrew, I wanted to ask you, do you write songs as well?
I'm not a songwriter per se.
Right.
I contribute to the songwriting process.
Okay. But it's hard to do when you play drums, right?
To
write music and stuff. Have you picked up any other instruments at all?
I can play a little bit of keys and bass, but... I think the songwriting, I don't know about chords and structures and theory and scales enough to make sense of how to write a song and make it sound good.
Right. You just want to bang on the drums all day, right?
But it's not going to be good.
Yeah. Just want to bang on the drums all day, like the song, right?
Yeah.
Wow. And so the album is called, what, Rise and Fall, right? Mm-hmm. And... it sounds pretty good. Let's play another song real quick. Should we play Rise and Fall? Or do you want us to play something else?
Sure, that's fine. That's
okay. We're listening, of course, to We Are Kings and Queens. We have Andrew and John in the studio. You guys can follow with the website wearekingsandqueens.com and check out their songs around here, available for free. Here's Rise and Fall.
And fall, strain I'm under.
Way down, nights I wander. If I let go, will I ever make it back around? So never gonna fall. All tied up and learning how to crawl. This is life, my dog. Sit back and watch me come undone. Now watch the rise and fall. How it makes me who I am, and I'm down to take it all. I can take it all if it makes me a better man.
Rise and fall, we are kings and queens. This is a very cool song. I mean, your music, you do have a sound, you know, and that's, you have a unique sound, and I think that's very important, right?
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah. What's Rise and Fall about?
Just that, like, it's kind of backwards in the song. It's a two-part song. It's kind of a strange format in terms of a song. There's no real chorus or anything, you know, no,
right.
Nothing that repeats. But the first half is about kind of the unraveling of things, and the second half is a little more about triumph and the feeling. You know, we stopped it a little short, but by the end it says, we're still young and beautiful. So this idea of even when things fall apart, and they can come back up, and no matter when that happens, whether you're 12 or 30 or 60, we're all still young and beautiful. Like, you can choose every day to feel a certain way.
Right.
And life is like that. Like, if you're honest, it's not just peachy all the time, you know, but yeah. It's not sad all the time. It really is right. Both.
Very cool. Now, the album art, the cover art is amazing. Who did that for you?
I wish I could remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but...
Did he come up with the concept, though?
No, we were... actually, Ben was looking around online for some images, and he came across this one, and we tried to email the guy and say, hey, we really love this, and we think it'd be great for this album. Can we use it? Never got a response back, waited a few more months, and I was like, fine, whatever. So I went on his website, and I ordered a print from London. He's based out of London. And waited a couple of weeks. It came in the mail. We scanned it and we used it. And, you know, eventually when we get big, I think, you know, maybe he'll sue us.
Yeah, he'll look for
just
you.
Just waiting for that lawsuit to come in.
I know, right?
But at that point, he'll be so big, who cares?
I know, right? That's when we have lawyers that'll just take care of
right.
it. And it'll be cool. It'll be publicity, actually. They'll spin it. It'll be a story. It'll
probably,
be like, oh,
yeah.
Unknown artist, da-da-da-da-da, sues giant. You know, band.
Band. Yeah, why not? I mean, you got to dream big, you know?
Yeah.
You really do.
Yep.
You really do.
So you guys have a show coming up in L.A., huh?
Oh, yeah, this Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at
wow,
the Viper
tell
Room.
Us about it. The Viper Room?
Yeah,
okay.
World famous Viper Room.
Where is it?
It's on Hollywood, right? Or Sunset.
Sunset.
Yeah, that's pretty much
where... Hollywood on Sunset.
Yeah, that's where they all are, I guess, pretty much. Have you guys played there before?
Yeah,
the Viper Room?
Yeah.
Really? It's a pretty big venue, right?
Yeah, I'd say it fits maybe a couple hundred, 250.
Yeah.
Or so. It's
been around for a while.
Yeah, it's pretty legendary. It's a cool place.
Do you guys tour as well? I mean, do you go to different towns and stuff, or do you stay in LA?
Not yet. We got our swimming feet this last year, you know, like we're up to speed now and we're ready to go, and we're actually in the process of writing and recording the next project, and then working with managers and people that can help us take the next step. We're typical musicians that really don't know how to have our shit together.
Right. So you need business people.
We
to
need
help
some
you.
Business people to step in. So if you're listening to this show and you think you're the right fit, then you need to get in contact with us.
Right. Yeah. And I can imagine, I mean, touring is costly and everything. You know, you want to build your foundation here first.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of venues here to keep you going for a while, right?
Yeah.
And we've kind of been under the impression that if you can't blow up in your hometown, then it probably isn't a good sign. And the bands I came from kind of were under the impression that the way to do it was just to play a lot of shows and do a lot of touring and just get on the road. And that just was very soul-sucking and exhausting and turned into playing in dive bars on Monday and Tuesday night for 20 people, you know?
Yeah.
It's like counting your clicker of making two fans per night. Wow. You know?
Yeah, well, it's not easy, you know. I mean, everything, all beginnings are hard, I think. And but we admire your persistence and everything, you know.
Thanks.
Now, do you guys have any? So you have keyboards in the band as well, right? I mean, it's pretty prominent in the songs, and that's very cool. I mean, you know, some rock bands, they don't have keyboards, and they have a very hard sound, you know. I think when you add keyboards, it makes it big. It sounds like big, you know.
Yeah,
and
it does.
I really like your music. I'm going to check out all the other songs as well. So when is the show in the Viper Room?
Oh, it's this Friday.
This Friday?
And we're on at 9 p.m. sharp, and it's actually a really cool show. This guy named Jimmy Necco from a band called Ours, O-U-R-S, had a residency there all month. So this is the final night of his residency, and the booker at the Viper Room really loves our band. And what? Did I mess
that up?
There's
one more Monday in January.
What?
20, right? There's one more Monday.
Oh, that he plays?
There should be.
Oh, we'll scratch that. It's the second to last one. Yeah. Last Friday. And the same booker that loves and has been booking this guy for years kind of fell in love with our band and told us that she thinks that we're one of a handful of people in LA that are doing authentic, timeless music, and so she's been giving us a chance, which
that's
is
very
really cool.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing, you gotta get a break from someone, you know. You got to know people, you gotta have somebody to believe in you to help you, because it's hard to do it by yourself, right?
Yeah. Especially coming from someone like that that works in the heart of West Hollywood. I mean, the Roxy and the Whiskey A Go-Go are right there next to her, and they do three or four bands a night, six or seven nights a week, you know. And on top of that, she probably gets 100 emails a day from bands saying, can you book our band at your venue? And so she's listening to bands probably
all the time.
Of her life, you know, checking out new artists. So it means a lot to hear
that from obviously. Someone. Yeah, you must feel privileged to be able to at least get through to her and, you know, have her as a fan.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you guys want to give out your social media things? Are you on Twitter, Facebook, things like that?
Sure, yeah. It's facebook.com/wearekingsandqueensmusic. That's right. And then on Twitter and Instagram, it's WAKAQ Music. WAKAQ Music. It's more memorable that way.
You can't fit the whole band name on.
Yeah, we couldn't fit the whole. They truncated it, so we had to come up with a little acronym.
Okay, no problem. And you guys can get links. There's also Instagram here as well. And you guys can check out the band. The band is We Are Kings and Queens. The website is wearekingsandqueens.com. The album is Rise and Fall. And you guys should definitely check it out. Great sounding band. Great people also. Really cool people.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so we wish you a lot of success, you know. I mean, it's like we said, we discussed, it's not easy. It's very challenging, but I think if you persist, you're going to get somewhere, you know. And plus, in the process, you guys are getting a pleasure out of it, you know, out of playing your music, doing the things you love to do. So it can't be all that bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's kind of awesome sometimes.
Yeah. So you have a day job, too. What do you do?
I'm a designer.
So, really?
Yeah.
What do you design? Like graphic designer?
Apps, websites,
really?
All kinds of stuff.
Wow,
yeah.
How cool.
Make things look pretty.
Yeah, huh? And how about you, Andrew?
I work at a couple restaurants right now, and I do some kind of freelance PR stuff for some startup companies.
Very cool. Yeah, so you guys know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
For the most part.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a son, so I have to know what I'm doing.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah,
you have to.
You can't just be a starving artist with a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, things get more serious.
All right. Well, John and Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. You guys are great. All the best to you. Much success. And don't forget us when you become real big.
Oh, we won't.
Okay,
we won't.
Remember, thanks for having us.
Of course.
I feel like I need to stand up so I don't die.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. It's killing you just sitting there.
Yeah, I should get a stand-up desk in here.
Yeah. Some people do the show
it's
standing
true.
Up.
Do they make ones that you can switch? Like just press a button and it rises like 3 feet?
They do. My best friend works at Twitter and all the desks are on buttons. So like you can like raise them, lower them. Half can be up, half can be down.
Yeah, it's like a platform
thing. A sleep mattress.
Pretty cool, yeah. Just set a time clock and just switch off every half an hour.
It's like hydraulics.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.